think the thing that sets the Chicago Bears apart from other teams is that secondary, B-Mac. And I think about that unit, big-time hitters coming downhill. Guys like Jalen Johnson who can truly go shut down a number one guy. This is going to make for some really tight games in the NFC North. And to Pete's point, I give a lot of credit to the Green Bay Packers. They're talented, but I think this Bears team can hang with any of these teams in the NFC North.
Bears. That's the former Bear, Kyle Long on CBS, pre-Micah Parsons. Important to point that out as we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on The Score. Dan Weider from The Athletic is here. I am Mark Grody. Dan and I collectively get to host a few times a week the Take the North podcast, where we talk all about the Bears. And we are very excited to be talking to our next guest. The soundbite you heard coming in may have given it away. He is a Bear for life. I think he identifies as a Bear for life. He spent all 7 years of his NFL career with the Chicago Bears, 2013 to 2019, multiple Pro Bowl appearances, and he is the host of a podcast, the Pushing the Pile podcast, a CBS Sports NFL podcast. Kyle Long joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Kyle, how are you today? Thanks for being on The Score.
I'm great, Mark and Dan. It's nice to be on here with some familiar faces and some voices. I haven't heard Dan talk. I know he's got a lot of stuff in the barrel for me. But yeah, I believe that about the Bears, the soundbite you heard, and obviously the news that just hit our ticker yesterday. It does change things. The one question mark I really had about this Green Bay Packers outfit was their ability to have a true winner, regardless of matchup or scheme on the defensive front, on the edges of their defense. And now they get that and more with, obviously, they have their outfit there on the front seven. They can use Micah Parsons in a number of different ways. Think back to when Leonard Floyd was, they were trying to make him something that maybe he wasn't at that point in his career. They would use him off ball, over the A gap, over the B gap, a real mismatch for interior offensive linemen. So the Packers got that. And, we hate it. We hate to hear that.
Kyle, you know me well. I do have a lot on my list here to get to with you, and we're not going to get to nearly half of it.
He's literally got a barrel in here, too, just like you said.
Yeah. It's a long list, but we have to stay on the Parsons trade for a little while. And obviously, the obvious comp that us in Chicago are making, and even people around the league, is 2018 and the Mac arrival to Hallis Hall at this time of year. What do you remember about what that arrival did? Obviously, it was a team at that point that was already on the ascent, but all of a sudden there was this jolt. And being in that locker room, what do you remember about Khalil's arrival?
Well, jolt is right. It was like Zeus came down off of Mount Olympus to go visit the human beings for a bit. Look, the guy apparently wasn't playing football for like 6 months, and then he showed up and did what he did week one. Granted, we lost the football game. You would be lying to yourself and others and me if you were to say that Khalil Mack wasn't the catalyst for that defense being spectacular. Yeah, Vic Fangio's defense was already really solid. We were going to have guys who could play the game the right way, and we were going to be in a lot of ball games. But Khalil Mack made that thing just flooded with success defensively. And I think about Micah Parsons, that's really going to be the straw that stirs the drink in Green Bay. It's frustrating as a Bears fan, and I know people have a number of different takes. You know, Ryan Poles should have signed him. I would argue this. Ryan Poles has a dozen other issues that he has to address, and the only way to address those issues is with money and picks. Yep. And quite frankly, this team isn't going to win the Super Bowl if you add Micah Parsons to it. Are they going to maybe win their playoff game if they do get in, which I think they could get a wild card spot? I don't think it's a Super Bowl team this year. And Ryan Poles has the foresight and stick to the vision, the patience. He's got the coach. They've got the quarterback. They've got other issues other than signing the most valuable player defensively in football, because along with that comes that price tag.
I love hearing your optimism there. And Kyle, I heard you when you said that the Bears could be a wild card this year. What makes you think that?
I think that because I take a look at the way that defense performed last year. I take a look at the way that Caleb progressed throughout the course of the season, the way he took care of the football. And with Ben Johnson's tutelage, I think that calming presence, although some people would say it's probably anxiety-inducing for Caleb Williams to have all this information put on you at once, I would say it's a calming presence. It's nice to have a guy with all that information and all that expertise. This team's going to be in a lot of ball games. Ben Johnson is brilliant in terms of situational game management, clock management. That stuff really matters. And we've seen some good coaches fall by the wayside because they're not great in those situations. You have to be great there. I think the Bears do win those one possession games more often than not because of Ben Johnson.
Kyle, we've been drawn to Ben since his arrival here, and you just used the word brilliant to describe him as a offensive overseer. He's also been very magnetic as, I think, both a communicator and a competitor. What do you think it is about him that guys respond to immediately as he gets in the door?
You could always smell it on a coach or a player, for that matter, who is trying to be something that they're not. I think Ben Johnson's not going to shy away from being himself. He's intense. He's very bright. And one thing that I appreciate about him is he has that energy about himself every single day. From all accounts, the guys I speak to in that building, he's the same guy every day, and he's himself. So with those two points being true, you're in a really good spot with your head coach.
So when you were here, you were here for the first year of three different coaches, Tressman, Fox, Nagy. Every single one of them had initial buy-in. What is it that a coach needs to sustain that buy-in? Because I think at some point for each of those three guys, it started to go in the wrong direction, and you experienced all of those, the early hype, the early hope, and then obviously a little bit of a regression for all those guys.
Well, they all offer, you know, if you're going to buy a vehicle, you look at a minivan because it has room for your family. You look at the Lamborghini because it goes fast. You look at the Raptor because, you know, for reasons that whatever you come up with. Same thing with these coaches. We got Mark Trestman because we were trying to figure out how to optimize the freakishly talented group that we had in the offensive huddle. And when we showed ourselves that we could put up 35, 31 points every week, seemingly, in that four-game winning streak, I believe it was my rookie year, to start the season, people were bought in. But then obviously, defensively, some things happened. There was some infighting that was widely publicized. And then you get John Fox. And the thing that was cool about John Fox was his experience, his tenure, his demeanor. The guy was such a player's coach. Like, he made me laugh so hard every single day, and I would have gone and played for that guy any Sunday. And then we had Nagy, and Nagy was a rare combination of the John Fox player coach, the Mark Trestman, we have answers for all pressures and we will get guys open. And I'm kind of getting the vibe that Ben Johnson might have all of that and then a little bit more. And it's exciting. I've heard a lot of head coaches, as you alluded to, Dan.
Yes.
So listening to Ben is nice. He's honest, and so are his staff members. They interviewed Roshara in the hallway. Yeah. I was like, they should interview him every week because, number one, I would have hated it as a player if Coach Roshara was like, yeah, Kyle had a, you know what, practice, terrible, blah, 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 yeah, blah, or inconsistent. I would take that personally. I'm sensitive. But as a fan, as a media member, I'm like, put a mic in front of Roshara's face every week.
Now you get it.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's okay to come to the dark side. You've accepted the dark. You said John Fox was funny.
I thought John Fox was funny.
Do you remember the monkey that he had? Do you remember the monkey press conference? Wasn't a monkey?
Yeah, Gidget the monkey.
Gidget the monkey.
He had a monkey with him in a press conference?
No, he told a long story about the pet monkey he had as a child. We'll have to send you the audio of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
well,
funny.
You know, he was grandfathered into respect because his dad was part of the first class of the artists formerly known as Frogmen, now Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was really cool. He told great stories, Foxy mm-hmm. did. So it was easy to, you know, kind of get your ear pulled in.
Yeah, I could see like where players would have the respect of a guy who's been through and just like, I mean, he obviously had a heavy success as a head coach in Carolina, and he came here, Kyle, and we're not going to stay in that year this entire segment, but he came here to restore order from the previous regime. So we all looked at it like, okay, the Bears need an adult in the room. I guess in theory, that's what they were going for, right, Kyle?
I guess. I wasn't one of the adults. Obviously, that's why they needed another adult. I was just a kid in daycare at that point. I was just a kid with some immense strength and explosion that was in daycare, and they took care of me. So that was good.
Kyle, you came on the very prestigious Take the North podcast last year before Caleb Williams' rookie season, and you expressed your belief in obviously what he has, all the skills, all the talents, all the things that had made him the number one pick and have brought him all the success he's had. With what you know about the NFL, with what you know about this league, what would you challenge him to understand in year two as he tries to take this next leap?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Don't put any limits on yourself, because when I watched him in college, I saw a guy with limitless ability. And there's only a handful of these guys in the league that aren't physical outliers that have that ability that's so special. Really the X-Men type powers. I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, because those are just superhumans. Caleb has the ability, like Rodgers, Favre had it, just to make things happen. And he's got arm talent, and that always helps. I would just urge him not to put any limits on himself, like throw all the expectations out the window and just continue to get better, because the sky truly is the limit. The marriage between him and Ben Johnson is awesome. It's everything you could dream of as a Bears fan. And look, I can't imagine how the city would respond if this team comes to fruition and is a championship team here in the coming years. It's going to be really special. And I'm glad I've been in support of it since the beginning. And I'll be honest, if they go out there again and he takes 60 sacks and he throws 63%, I'm going to, I'll be honest throughout. But what I saw from the Rook was toughness in the face of regime change, in the face of adversity. There were different guys out there protecting him. And he never threw his teammates under the bus. He got his ass off the turf every time, and he went to work. And I respect that.
Kyle, you've obviously been part of this organization, and you still follow the organization. And you talked about this, how great it would be if this works out, because you get it. You get Chicago. But on the other side of this, one of the things that Dan and I talk about on the podcast a lot is this has to work out. Just because of the previous kind of failures at quarterback with Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields, and people have their opinions on Jay Cutler not having lived up to what the potential might have been. Can this city handle another first round quarterback that doesn't work out?
Of course they can. Chicago can handle anything.
We're Chicago type.
I think that's a real thing, and it's what drew me to the people in Chicago. But honestly, it depends on what you mean work out. Is Super Bowl, what if Caleb is a 4,000-yard passer every year from his third year on?
Just the quarterback being good is what I am talking about. It doesn't have to be a Super Bowl. Maybe I've lowered my expectation. Just having a quarterback that's here.
Newsflash, Bears fans, your quarterback is good. Your quarterback's talented, and you've got a guy who's going to put the pieces in the right spot. Now we just need to see him grow from year one to year two. There's no bigger jump at the National Football League from year one than there is from year one to year two. I would say year two to three for me is where it really slowed down into Neo in the Matrix mode. But the game slows down in your second year. I think we're going to see that from Caleb, and people are going to be happy. It's going to be fun listening to Bear Down Chicago Bears every Sunday.
Bears.
Kyle, you said you can't imagine what the city would be like if this all came to fruition and they were a championship-level football team, but you can, because you were there in 2018. It's a year that Grody and I revisit often because it is the outlier year for our entire time on the beat.
Yeah, we don't do 1985 Bears. We do 2018 Bears.
So 2018, I feel like your perspective was as valuable as anyone's, because you had been through some stuff before 2018. You'd been through two coaching changes. You'd been through some injuries, and the appreciation for what that success was wasn't lost on you. How do you describe to people just the magic of that entire season all the way up to the final kick?
It was magic, and for a very long time in the National Football League, I was, I was emptying my magazine on the opposition, and I was playing my best ball, and it just wasn't good enough for our team to win. At the end of my career, 2018, I look around the locker room, and I'm like, we are so talented. We are so good defensively. We're so good where it's important, and we've got a coach, the coach of the year, Matt Nagy. It was special, and it just felt like every week, if the offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain, Prince Amukamara pick six against Russell Wilson, Khalil Mack hip tossing Tristan Wirfs, and the entire locker room watching it on the screen just in awe of Superman, Akeem Hicks doing the things he did, unsung guys like Eddie Goldman who were just nightmares to practice against, but that's what got you ready. It was a fever dream. It feels like a DMT trip or something, because I had never experienced anything like it. It felt like it was gone in an instant. But it was special, man. It was special. Just imagine that plus.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the defense was legit elite and just enough from the offense to make it whole. We actually had Allen Robinson on yesterday, and we were having Prince Amukamara on later on in the show. I know you just mentioned him, but Allen Robinson, we were talking about that very first drive of 2018 against the Green Bay Packers, where Mitch Trubisky, you guys drive the ball right down the field for a touchdown. Now, I know things didn't work out in that game, but at that moment, I don't know how you were feeling, but I was doing sidelines for you guys. That was the first year that that the swap had occurred, and Zach Zabin, I know, who was one of your buddies as well.
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top. Wait a minute. Oh, ZZ Top. I'm so used to hearing redhead names for Zach Zabin, but ZZ.
Come on, I'm not Harris.
that is so I'm watching that and I'm like, holy cow, this is
and then
it.
Aaron Rodgers goes to the locker room, they give him the boom boom juice, and he comes back out, does a sideline interview, sounds like a Rogan pod, and then he goes in there and bing bang boom, the Bears lose.
Oh,
it was
God.
Just like, but for that brief moment in time when Khalil Mack is running into the end zone with the football, holding it like a loaf of bread, you know, guys are getting home on Aaron Rodgers. We've got the backup in the game.
Roquan, yeah.
Felt special.
Cal, a couple weeks ago, you were there with CBS, joint practice against the Dolphins. Was that your first time back at Halas since you left here?
I had been back one other time, but it was like 8 o'clock at night, just come in to see whoever was in the building. And then at the joint practice, obviously they're covering the Bears joint practice for CBS Sports. I got to see everybody, and I got to see a lot of the players and shake a lot of hands with the new guys and players that I'm a fan of on the Bears. It was a really cool experience, and they treat me like family. I got to see George. It was good to give him a big hug and express my condolences for his loss. But, you know, I think Virginia would be very happy to see some of the things that are happening for the Chicago Bears.
I saw you did a facility tour on YouTube for CBS, which was really cool. Was there emotion for you at all walking around the building? You obviously saw the renovations to that building while you were there, and just coming back to the place that you you know, poured your blood, sweat, and tears out for 7 years. Was there a little emotion walking back through the facility?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, you step on the scale, you're 305 pounds, and you're kind of like, I think I'm going to call my wife and let her know that I'm going to be a preferred walk-on here.
They do need a left tackle.
What's the NIL situation? Yeah, it's emotional, man, because you can never go back. You can never go back. And the thing that I get emotional about is all the guys, you know, the media members that I became buddies with, like, you know, you and Mark, and Zach Zaidman, and then just seeing all the good that's happening with the Bears currently and knowing that you'll never be a part of it in the way that you were at one point in time. And that makes you sad, but I'm also happy, and I'm happy that some young man is in the locker where I was, and he's had a tough day here on Friday, but he's getting ready to go have a good meeting. And I just love that, man. I'm part of a fraternity. They let me back in. It was really cool.
When you walked into the building, the offensive line room in 2013 is where the chapel is now. And I've told people that there are things that happened in that room when it was an offensive line room that wouldn't have been appropriate for a chapel. Confirm or deny?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Out of respect for the chapel.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, Kyle. You are, I know you said it before, but I just want to reinforce it. You, sir, are a Bear for life. That's it, right?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're a Bear for life. 10 Bears. I give out Bears on
a
scale.
Thank you for your stamp of approval.
Yes. it's very important.
As Olin Krutz would say. Yeah.
Finally validated.
Oh, man. Kyle, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. We wish you the best of the luck on CBS and on the podcast as well. So thank you so much for coming on.
Keep enjoying daddy
duty.
All right,
boys. Yeah. See you soon. Bear down.
Bears. There he goes. That is Kyle Long.
Father of two young young girls now, and he really pours himself into to fatherhood now, which is cool to see.
That's cool.
We get to see these guys grow up before our eyes, and like Kyle said, it's cool when you create bonds with guys that last well beyond their playing days.
Transitioning well. Yes, the podcast that Kyle Long performs is the Pushing the Pile podcast. It is a CBS Sports NFL podcast, and he sounds like he is pretty optimistic about Caleb Williams. I like hearing that. Optimistic about the Bears potentially being a wild card. I'm listening to it. I love it all. When we come back, more Bears. You have some good stuff with Ryan Poles.
Excited about this.
That people may not have heard yet. Probably not, right, Dan?
Yeah, no, it's just going to be some insight.
It's a little insight.
About your quarterback that you just talked about. His name is Caleb.
Oh, guess what? Dan Weider has information on Caleb Williams. So that is coming up next. Plus, I will answer the question. There's a texter that, and the texter is right. He's every time I'm on, and I just forget to keep coming back to it, he is asking me what my favorite Pearl Jam album is, and he sounds a little exasperated on the text. I grody, I'll ask you one more time. I will answer that question as well, my favorite Pearl Jam album, when we come back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We were talking to Ryan Poles last night. He said, the last couple weeks in practice, we've seen a real change in Caleb Williams because he was getting rode hard. He was getting overly coached and really critical and a lot of the small things that Ben Johnson wants to see. And they said the growth that he has had over the last 5 to 10 days had been exactly what they were hoping to see. And I'm not really surprised after that opening drive, based on what Ryan Poles says, it makes a lot of sense.
That is a former Bear, Greg Olson, right there on Fox, talking about Caleb Williams and Ryan Poles. He's probably not a Bear for life. He is probably a Panther for life. It wasn't for that dreadful Mike Martz, who wanted Brandon Molly Lally Uno instead of Greg Olson. He wanted an extra guy blocking. And Greg Olson, borderline Hall of Fame career, as we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'll reveal my favorite Pearl Jam album, but first, let's get right into the football information that our guy Dan Weider has regarding Caleb Williams. Daniel.
Caleb's going to be talked about a lot this season, right? He's going to be analyzed a lot this season. Every single thing he does is going to be under the highest powered microscope you can imagine. If you thought some of this preseason chatter, both locally and nationally, was loud, get ready for that to turn up about 700
decibels. It's about to.
Right. Yes. So, in conversations that I've had with both Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles, I feel like I've gotten a little bit better understanding of how they're evaluating year two for Caleb Williams. And I thought this would be a good chance for you and I to kind of ping pong this back and forth. This was probably something that we would do on a Take the North episode, but now we've got a chance to do it right here.
Here we are.
Right? And we'll pluck that and throw it in the pod.
What did you say? A pluck. Yeah.
Pluck it.
Yeah,
pluck it. I'm just going to pluck it.
Pluck it real good.
So Kevin Fishbane and I recently had a sit down with Ryan Poles up in his office at Halas Hall. And one of the questions we asked was the lens with which he was going to be viewing Caleb as he goes through the 2025 season. He gave us three bullet points, Grody. And so I'm going to throw these at you. We'll take a little pause. We'll discuss it. And then we'll go into the Ben's part of the equation, because I think that's interesting as well.
I like your process.
Ryan first said that he wanted to see Caleb, in his words, conquer his emotions. And what that meant was he wanted a quarterback that could show he could bounce back from bad plays, from bad quarters, from bad games, and be a guy that at all times could be sort of an emotional hub of energy for the team, right? Like, this is the role of QB1 in most NFL buildings. Can you do that consistently and regularly in a way that helps the team progress while you as a quarterback are progressing? So conquering emotions and being able to show the bounce back ability, play to play, game to game, week to week, that's there. There's been this talk of accuracy with the quarterback for a while. This is on both of those guys' lists. Ben and Ryan talked extensively about accuracy with Caleb, and it's not just in the completion percentage, which we'll get to in a minute. It's about ball placement. You know, sometimes a completion is a completion, but a better placed ball is a bigger completion, right? And so they're going to be looking at that. And you've heard Ben give you a really detailed explanation of footwork improvements that are needed from Caleb
from
Williams
the beginning,
to make sure that there can be aimed throws that are on time, on target, and right where the bullseye is placed. So that's another thing that they're looking for. And then another thing that Ryan brought up, and he kind of stopped as we were moving on to the next question, said, oh, one more thing. We really want to see Caleb show an ability to take what's given to him. So that's a little bit of a highlight in terms of, look, we understand the big play capability you have, but sometimes the check down that's 4 yards in front of you is the one to take, right? And so how consistently can you find that completion that keeps us on schedule, keeps the ball moving, and doesn't force you to do some of the superhero things that you're capable of doing? Can you do that on a regular basis? Can you take what's given? Those are three general manager bullet points on how to view the quarterback in year two.
Well, I do remember last year the take what's given to you mantra was out there as well. From maybe Pohl said it. Shane Waldron certainly said it. I'm sure Matt Eberflus had some form of it. Like, we know we can do the special, but yeah, we've got to work on what is given to the simple. Get the you know, the rudimentary stuff down. So yeah, I think that's incredibly important, and it's got to be difficult for somebody like Caleb Williams, who was free flinging in college. You know what I mean? Like he kind of ran things there.
Yeah.
Basically, he had it his way against college talent, and so this is what it takes to be successful in the NFL, to take what is given to you. And even, and I think I had said some form of this last year as well, that we all want to skip steps. We want to see the show. We want to see what Caleb Williams did at USC, the special. But even he has to bring himself back. That is Caleb Williams,
yeah,
to do things like that. The accuracy issue too. Yeah, surprisingly real. And I remember how angsty Caleb was about that last year, because it wasn't necessarily part of his story in college. Like, the accuracy was there. One thing I noticed right away in training camp this year, and of course, as you would imagine, it got a lot of attention on social media, was that he was missing the deep ball. Mm-hmm. There were times where I was standing there, I think it was on field one right outside of Hallis Hall, and watching him on a couple of occasions have struggle with accuracy on the deep ball, on explosive plays, and I don't have to tell you how important that is. So that's huge and spot on by Ryan Poles. The conquering the emotions, I think I need a little bit more on that. Is that because I don't remember? You mean like Caleb, like he would show some stress out there on
that's
the field?
That's part of it. Like the body language component, okay, is part of that, which Ben Johnson brought up early in the spring about being a little bit more proactive with understanding what type of body language is needed,
okay,
for the team.
Like when he was laying down on the sideline.
Right. You may be exhausted, yeah, you may be frustrated, but the other team has to think that you are locked in like an assassin.
Okay.
Right? Like, and so that's part of it. And then, okay, it's also just like when you have things go a little bit astray, when you do have a play go south, can you bounce back right away? And one of the positive examples that Ryan gave was in that preseason game against Buffalo.
Bingo.
I think that, did they have a holding? They had a penalty. It was Drew Dahlman, I think, might have been a hold on second down.
Yeah.
And Caleb comes, is second and 14 now, and Caleb comes right back with an 18-yard completion to Colston Loveland, where it's like, penalties in the rearview mirror already.
Yeah.
Right?
You, yeah, know what I mean? That's how you do it.
And that's how you do it. That didn't show up in Kansas City when they started with a miss, you know, a bungled exchange between quarterback and receiver on a jet sweep, and then they followed with a false start, and the drive was dead before they even got to run the first play on their script, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so that's the thing, and what I always stress to people, where, you know, like they'll you just mentioned like deep ball accuracy, right? And they'll just pull up a clip of him throwing a pretty deep ball and being like, I thought you said he had deep ball accuracy issues. And you're like, no, we know he's capable of completing a deep ball accurately. You have to do it over and over and over again consistently at a high level in the NFL to get results. And it's the consistency of all these things that's so important. You can't just show glimpses of it. This has got to be who you,
wow,
become.
So well put.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the emotional part of that, I think, for the Bears and the people upstairs, is Caleb is an outwardly emotional guy. Like, that's well documented. We've seen that. How do you kind of channel that in the right direction, and how do you do it in a way where the people around you, both teammates and opponents, look at you and think a certain way? Right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll give one more example, too, that you gave the Buffalo example of getting over a penalty and making the 14-yard pass to Loveland. How about in the Kansas City game, where he throws right on that jump ball,
yeah,
for Romadunze, and then it was to Romadunze the next play, right? Or was it Olamide?
Yep. No,
Romadunze.
That was two in a row, back
36
to Rome.
36 yards.
On the corner route, yeah.
Yeah, and then he jams it in the end zone.
The end, yeah, zone, touchdown.
Boom.
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to work. So those are good examples of what he
and look, Caleb showed that last year, and that you, like, you know, you can play both sides of this coin. Some of the big drives he led in game on the line situations showed a level of resilience that's impressive, right? Like you're getting beat all game in Washington, and then you lead two drives in the fourth quarter that should have been game-winning drives.
That's the whole thing, man. Right? We would have talked so differently about that game.
There's like three of those, right? Like where the game, like when Jay was here, when Jay was having a bad game, you knew it was going to stay bad. Caleb has shown the ability to salvage what seems to be a bad game with some real bounce back in those game on the line moments. I know you were with me Thanksgiving in Detroit. That game looked like it was dead at halftime. And then all of a sudden they've got the ball in the last 2 minutes with a chance to go, you know, make magic happen. And you're like, how did we get here? Because at halftime this team looked like they were screwed, and now they're potentially trying to win a game. So that's there for Caleb.
I'll never forget that day. As you know, you and I, after the game, we did our work in the locker room. You did your writing, I did, you know, my tape work and whatever hits I needed to do. Then an hour later, you and I meet up in the press box, and we just kind of looked at, I don't even know if we said a word, we're just shaking our heads like, let's find a place to do this podcast. That was something, man.
As a little bit of a link to that, do we have, we need to be better clock managers than Floos was that Thanksgiving afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have time to get in the Ben stuff now, or do we want to do it on the other side of this?
We'll take a break, and God, I hate to keep on putting off this big Pearl Jam thing.
We'll
get to the Pearl Jam thing next, and more insights from the Athletics. Dan Weeder here on the Raheem and Harris Show when we return. I am Mark Grody in for Layla on The Score.
There were some up and down moments, which was expected when a new system is coming in, and it's not easy. There's no wristbands. There's some foundational work that he had to work through as well. So there's some growing pains that happen. But I know when I put the whole timeline together, start from when he walked on campus from last year to this year, there's been a ton of growth there.
Bears general manager Ryan Poles. It's the Raheem and Harris Show on The Score with Dan Weeder of The Athletic and the Take the North podcast. I am Mark Grody of The Score and the Take the North podcast. All hanging out with you till 2 here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Football talk on The Score is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We were just talking about some insight that Dan Weeder had on Ryan Poles and some things on Caleb Williams. What have you from Mr. Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I'm going to give you three rapid-fire nuggets here from Ben about how he's going to be viewing Caleb's second season.
I'm jotting.
70%. You know what that number means.
No, I do.
Ben brought it up himself.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Ben why he was so comfortable publicly announcing that target for Caleb Williams, because it obviously gives everyone in the outside world a chance to say, oh, he's above that line. Oh, he's below that line for the rest of the time, right? Like 70% has been vocalized. And Ben was essentially very upfront and saying, look, we're talking about being a top five offense. We're talking about a quarterback who wants to be one of the best in the league. Why should it be a secret that that's where our bar needs to be set?
I love that.
I love it. It's that fearless mindset that Ben brings. You heard Grody also, the head coach, talk when he got in the doors. I think this was at the owners' meetings in March about EPA, expected points added, particularly in the passing game, which is the metric that he believes is now more important to winning and losing football games than turnover margin. So what helps a football team spike EPA? He says it's all about the elimination of negative plays. He considers incompletions a negative play. He considers sacks, obviously, a negative play. And so Caleb's ability to eliminate those negative plays is going to help the EPA spike. Also along with that is this absolute determination of the Bears to have an offense that is great with yards after catch. They want to have receivers catch the football in space, running backs catch the football in space, tight ends catch the football in space, and then make plays going forward. Nothing drives Ben Johnson more nuts than a receiver catching the football and going east and west instead of north and south.
Catch and knife.
That's what him and Antoine Randall always talk about.
Yeah.
Get the football and get upfield. So that's going to be something that they're going to look for Caleb to be able to do by that ball placement, right? The accuracy has to be there so those guys can catch it in stride and be able to get forward. And then I wanted to read this quote from you, because this is the one I really want your reaction to. It's Ben basically saying that while this offense that I'm installing here in 2025 is more sophisticated and complex than the one I was teaching Jared Goff in 2022, I cannot go back and meet Caleb where he's at. He's got to catch up to me. Mm. And here was his quote on that. I'll read you and you react. He said, "That's the nature of the NFL. This league keeps moving. It keeps turning. And if you go backwards, then you're going to fall behind pretty quickly. So we can't just afford to do that. It's like drinking through a fire hose at a lot of different points with these young players. But I have trust with the coaching staff and the experience we have here. We're going to be able to find the right recipe of what's the right volume. And yet we still have to attack the opponent."
Wow.
And so that's a big deal right there.
Yeah. So, and you know, you set it up well before you gave the quote that essentially he is saying Caleb, as you said, needs to catch up with him, which I love because we know the resume of Ben Johnson. It's like, okay, whatever I need to do to get to be that, I'll do. The only thing, and this might not be fair, the only thing that is a little bit scary too is, wasn't that what Matt Nagy was asking Mitch Trubisky to do? And we got all pissed off because it was like, hey, you gotta simplify this thing. And Matt Nagy did resist and we gave him hell for that. How does that resonate with you?
It's a super tough juggle, right? Yeah. Because when you do simplify, you make yourself less dangerous. You make yourself easier to prepare for opposing defenses.
Half the field is easier to prepare for?
Right, yes.
And Mitch Trubisky's half?
So all of this is, you know, this is Ben telling you, like, the league keeps evolving. These defenses keep becoming more complex. And for us to be able to counterpunch or actually throw the first punch, we've got to be able to be more complex than they are or more sophisticated in certain areas or attack certain points that need to be attacked. And so I like that he's aggressive in this way. I do think that there is going to be a little bit of a, as we talked about the other day, just a tug of war of trying to feel out when you have to meet the quarterback where he's at and when you have to kind of push him to be where you're at. And I think that's going to be really hard, and it's going to be one of the biggest challenges that Ben faces.
Well, and you know, Caleb, assuming he's being earnest and honest, and I think he is, he wants to be great. He wants to be the best. He wants to be elite. And this is, I think, a man who can show a quarterback how to be elite.
This is the grand experiment, right? Like you said to Kyle Long, like, if this doesn't work, then what?
What do we do? Where do we go now?
Like, you've got a proven NFL play caller with a talent that comes around every, you know, once every so often. And so, like, this is the grand experiment. If not this, then what are we going to do? What is the Take the North pod going
to
become?
What will happen to, then maybe we will change the name. All right, here we go.
We're going to change it to 90s grunge band.
Yeah, real quick here, because we've got Cassie Carlson of Fox 32, which is right across the street here in downtown Chicago. Cassie will be on here in just a little bit to talk more Chicago Bears. But yeah, I've had a texter who's been asking me, and I'm sorry, texter, that I didn't answer in the previous times, but you know, Bears. So here, the answer is 10, because that should be everybody's answer. You don't have to oversimplify or make this more complicated than it is and be hipster and all of that kind of stuff. Like, but because it's just a perfect album.
Yeah.
10 is. But so I'm going to use that as the caveat to or the disclaimer to, let me give you my second favorite album. How about that? And there's some, like, I loved Vitalogy. I loved Versus. I thought Yield was a really good album when, you know, Pearl Jam decided to go public again, essentially, after not doing videos. Or, like, Pearl Jam kind of ruined their own popularity because they didn't like being popular, and then they accepted their popularity again with Yield and probably lost tons of fans. But my favorite album by second favorite Pearl Jam album is No Code. No Code had, I'll never forget watching when No Code came out, the Eddie Vedder or Pearl Jam goes on David Letterman, like they would do a lot. They played a song called Hail Hail, and I was like, that rocks. And then it was a slight departure from the hardcore punk grunge thing that Pearl Jam likes to do, you know, with Who You Are, In My Tree, Smile, great song, Red Mosquito. And this is like early 2000s when that came out, Of a Girl, which is a song that they always opened up with on that tour. So that is my answer. The album is, again, No Code.
On the next episode of Take the North, I will share a story of the police having to come to our house at the University of Illinois because we were singing a Pearl Jam song in the basement too loud at 2 in the morning.
Oh, man. When are we recording the podcast next?
I don't know. We just got the Bears practice schedule for next week, so now we got to piece the puzzle together.
Yes, we do. Yeah, that's going to go public soon. So it'll be very interesting to see how we all handle next week leading up to the Monday Night Football game at Soldier Field against the Minnesota Vikings. All right, Dan, coming up next, we will bring in Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 to talk more Bears. It is the Raheemy and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, and him, Dan Weeder, on The Score.